So it is 9:30 on Coast Community Radio, and it's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't have my apron on.
Well, you know what? We need, like, insulated aprons. It's cold outside.
I know.
We need polar fleece aprons.
Oh, I left the house early. You know how when you have a doctor appointment, you know how you have to go a couple days early to get your blood drawn, you know, because of my STDs. Just kidding. Super tasty dishes.
So
Thanksgiving week.
And you didn't want to wear your apron to the doctor's office.
No, well, I
don't know what's wrong with you.
I headed out rather than to here to the doctor, and I didn't think, dough.
It's okay. Actually, you don't even have to admit that if you don't want to, because, you know, radio.
It's true. We could just be buck naked and you all would never know except for the giggling.
Shrieks of terror from the
shrieks
staff.
Of terror. And the police.
Yes, there's that. So, you know, Thanksgiving.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a bona fide feast day.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, that's pretty much what we do. Yes, we give thanks, but we do it while we're eating massive amounts of food, apparently. So what are you doing?
Well, you know what we do. We make reservations. And if you are wondering why this show is not nationally syndicated, it could be because, one, I go and make reservations for Thanksgiving. Two, last week when we were talking about food mills, I think that I described them as a thing you put stuff in and left it at that and thought it was good enough. I wasn't being cheeky or anything.
Well, in as far as it went, it was absolutely correct.
Yeah. Oh, and then three, all the crap that I cook.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh. Hey, what are you making?
Well, before we talk about that, I just have a correction to the Astoria Warming Center announcement. Thank you, Joanne Rideout, so much for bringing me this. There is a correction to the email address if you'd like to become a volunteer for the Warming Center, the Astoria Warming Center. In the future, you can email astoriawarmingcenter@gmail.com.
Oh, okay. So, hey, you know, the Food Web, they do a lot of soup. They make a lot of soup for the Warming Center, don't they?
We usually make soup, yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. Exactly. And it's soup weather.
Yeah.
And I should mention quickly before we get back to Thanksgiving that there's going to be a 3-week soup series cooking course.
Ooh.
In January. So after the holidays, when we're just really full of good food and now all we want to do is stay warm for a couple months,
when we
time.
Weigh more.
Yes. soups and stews. So you can go to northcoastfoodweb.org and check the calendar if you're interested in joining us to make soups and stews for 3 weeks in January. Anyway, and we'll all have leftover something to make soup with. So
what a perfect time to have that class.
We just heard on This Week with Betsy Johnson that spiral ham and prime rib. Holy cow.
I know. Well, you know, I was thinking just how he said he just makes turkey once a year. You know, I do too. My friend Jerry, every once in a while, she cooks on her Traeger a lot. She'll fire up the Traeger for something else, and she'll put a couple turkey legs on.
Tell us what a Traeger is.
Oh, like a smoker thing.
Okay.
Pellet stove type smoker thing.
A thing you put stuff in.
A thing you put stuff in. Little local radio show. And then my friend Georgia will occasionally roast a chicken, not a chicken breast, but a turkey breast. But I pretty much just do them at Thanksgiving. How about you?
I almost never, I don't, if my lovely husband and I are home on our own on Thanksgiving, I don't even do a turkey because two people, really.
Yeah.
So I'll just roast a chicken. But this year I'm sharing Thanksgiving with a giant group of people. We're going to miss you, by the way.
Aww.
And because of that, I get to enjoy turkey for Thanksgiving because A, I'm not cooking it, and B, there's plenty of people to share it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. But there is nothing quite like a potluck with foodies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or just when people really try, because I've had, you know, I do try if I have Thanksgiving at my house to ask people to bring things, but then somebody always goes to the grocery store and gets the $3.99 pumpkin pie and you're just like, oh, you know,
yeah,
just I brine the turkey, I put days of effort into it. And this thing is made of cardboard.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that intentions are always pure, and they're you know, and what happens is that people do the best they can.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, I was saying earlier to you before we went on the air that Kelly from Spring Up Farms donated some pie pumpkins recently, and I roasted those off, and man, I'm telling you, pumpkin pie with when you start with the actual pumpkin as opposed to a can opener in a can is really good.
It really is, and it's special too, and it's just the time of year to do it.
Yep. And I have been really liking this pumpkin pie recipe that doesn't use the can of condensed milk.
Really? What does it do?
It uses sour cream and creme fraiche.
Really?
And it's so good. And a little splash of booze. It is so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I've been making my own creme fraiche?
Tell us about that, because I think there's no comparison at all. If you make your own, it's so great.
Yeah, so easy. Creme fraiche and my own buttermilk, just because I use so much in baking this time of year. So for the buttermilk, you just go get yourself a gallon of milk, and you do have to buy buttermilk. But when you make it, it ends up being about a sixth of the price. And for me, that's significant for how much quick bread we do for the animal shelter bake sale. So get yourself a gallon of milk, and you pour, I think it's like the recipe says a tablespoon of buttermilk per cup of milk. So it'd be like a cup at least into the gallon of milk. But what I do is I generally do like, I'll have like a gallon of milk that I use full fat milk because I like full fat buttermilk, and it's really hard to buy that around here.
Yes,
so that's another reason to make it. But a gallon of milk, and then I also have like a quart of cream that I'm turning into creme fraiche. And so I just use the quart of buttermilk that I buy from the store, and I pour most of it into the milk and then some of it into the cream. And then you just let it sit on your counter. The milk for a gallon, you have to let it sit there for like 36 hours, and that seems bad. I am going to kill your family, but no. They explain it on the internet that sometimes lies, but not this time, that the good bacteria are stronger than the bad bacteria, and they keep the bad out. And you can smell, it smells like buttermilk. It doesn't smell like rotten milk. And then once it's the milk, when it's thick enough that I just tip it carefully and I can see that it's not sliding, you know, it looks like a solid, but it's not. If I shake it up, it's just a very thick liquid. Then in my mind, that's how thick I like it. It's done. I put it in the fridge, and it is really, really good. Same thing with the creme fraiche.
It's really good. And I have read before that you could put like lemon juice or something instead of, it's not the
same. No, it makes sour milk, and that's a different thing. And that's something like old timey cooks, my grandma, and she was born in the 1800s. That's what she did so much cooking with, was sour milk. And it acts not totally different, but it acts different.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it does.
Yeah.
I just love that full fat buttermilk. That's really, and you know, it's cultured.
Yes. Like me, darling, like me. I'm talking with my teeth together so you can prove, or I can prove that I'm cultured.
So, and I think the creme fraiche, you know, we can buy creme fraiche in little tubs, but
it's so
not
expensive.
Even the same, the consistency. It's not even the same consistency.
No. And also, you have to see the financing guy first.
I know. It's true.
You need a quantity of it.
That's such a good idea. And to make your own creme fraiche. That is such a good idea.
I have vanilla information.
Late breaking news.
Yes. You know that all I ever talk about or think about is vanilla. And that's so sad. But here we go. Kate Merrill went to Hawaii. And when she was there, she toured a vanilla farm.
Really?
So, yes, isn't that cool? So she came back and drove directly to my house because she had vanilla information. So did you know this? I didn't. And a lot of people I talked to knew this. But did you know that every vanilla plant on Earth has to be pollinated by man? Like by hand, it's not naturally whatever.
I knew that they pollinated it by hand, but I didn't. I just figured that it was like an advanced farming technique.
Yeah, yeah. No, because whatever its natural pollinator was is long gone. Oh. And it only grows from 22 to 25 degrees latitude. So there's just a narrow belt where it will grow. And so we know vanilla is so expensive right now.
Yes.
For two reasons, supply and demand. Supply, there were storms 2 years in a row that hurt the plants. And then demand, so many companies, especially like cereal companies, are driving the price because they want to be able to say that their product is all natural, and for it to be all natural, they can't have fake vanilla. So that's driving it. But this is the vanilla information. This is what the farmer said. He said now in the last 8 months, what they've seen is just this surge from China of them buying all the vanilla because all of a sudden Chinese people in China are interested in American sweets and American pastries.
Oh.
And so he expects it to go higher and higher and higher and higher.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Vanilla information.
Yeah, that's really interesting, but also alarming.
I know. I'm going to go buy 4 gallons.
Let's help speed that crisis along by stocking up vanilla. You can stock vanilla, so you know.
Yeah, it lasts forever. Yeah. I mean, seriously, forever.
Yeah.
I looked into it.
Okay, everyone. If you're going to be baking for the holidays, I'm saying get your vanilla now. It's never going to be cheaper. You know, when things go up, they almost always never go back down.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess we need to get our vanilla or continue to make our vanilla, order a bunch of bee beans.
Yeah.
And make a bunch of vanilla.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what else have you been cooking lately?
I made clams.
You made clams.
Oh, well, I didn't like
knit a clam.
It was decoupage.
What did you do and what kind of clams?
No, it was just from Andy Catalano's meal kit. But because I don't eat them, you know, I really don't cook them. And that's not fair. Poor Dale, he never gets any clams. He loves them. And so it's really the first time that I cook clams at home. That's another reason this is not a nationally syndicated cooking show, because one of the hosts has never cooked clams.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to be drummed right off the air at the coast.
We're going to be on our own little wind-up radio.
Well, we'll keep doing it.
But it was easy to saute up a bunch of vegetables and then put the clams in the pan and then put the lid on, and a couple minutes they're all open, and I'm going to do it again. It was really easy.
And delicious.
Make some pasta, yeah.
Yeah, really delicious. Oh, clams of all kinds. So good. I have a turkey stuffing question.
Oh, yeah?
For you and everyone. I have been tasked with taking, I guess, dressing. We don't stuff anymore. We dress.
No, yeah. So much easier to cook the turkey, too.
And we're dressing for dinner.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm taking dressing for one of my contributions for dinner this year. And here are my challenges, because I love almost every kind of dressing.
Yeah, yeah.
I have never eaten poultry dressing that I don't like.
Okay.
But I am cooking for a giant group of people, one of whom hates celery.
Okay.
One of whom has a nut allergy.
Okay.
One has, I don't think, if there are gluten issues, I don't know about it, and I'm not going to ask. Because
you can't
really
make gluten-free stuffing.
Yeah. It would be really hard.
Yeah.
So I have a bunch of food issues that would make the normal like cornbread sausage dressing that I love and that I think of as kind of the vanilla of poultry stuffing.
You're just trying to get me to listen.
I just wonder what.
Well, I think it's okay to leave the nuts out because that's like a life-threatening thing.
No, I'm not going to put them in there.
But the celery, that's just a picky thing, unless it's the host.
No, it's not the host.
I think that they can just pick the celery out. I mean, if that's what, you know what I mean?
I can't imagine making that particular dressing without any celery.
You really need it. Otherwise, it's just, it'd be too one-dimensional. I mean, you can only take so many things out, you know.
What do you think about fruit in dressing?
So I think that cranberries are good. I think that apricots could be good. I don't think that bananas are a good idea. What were you thinking of putting in there?
Oh, I have some fresh cranberries locally grown, so I think that that's probably a good thing to do. I usually, my default would be apples.
Okay, yeah. And I think just not too many, that's all. You know, Barbara Glick has a stuffing she is famous for, and it's a cornbread Dungeness crab stuffing.
Oh,
isn't
really?
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I wonder if we have any seafood allergies, because that would be great.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting that that's the thing that her Thanksgiving meal centers around, that's the thing that always has to be there, you know? I think that's kind of cool.
That sounds great.
Hey, you know, you said those cranberries, you know, Jessica from Starvation Alley?
Yes.
I was talking to her. And do you know that they have 4 different varieties of cranberries?
I do, and I have not done a taste test,
but isn't that interesting? Because yes. I never thought of cranberries as having a variety. Of course they do. You know, I'm cranberry ignorant. But I think that's just so interesting.
It is. I wonder if they... Oh, I wonder... It makes me wonder a whole bunch of things.
I know, because think of the difference between like a Pink Lady apple and a Delicious apple.
Exactly.
You know, like I wonder if it's so marked like that.
I wonder if you can tell by looking. We have to get Jessica on here to talk about cranberries one of these days. I want to take a real quick second to remind everyone that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And that Food Talk is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here all the time on Food Talk with Linda Perkins. So, yes, we should definitely delve into the whole cranberry issue, I think.
I just think that's so interesting.
With a local cranberry grower.
I want to try them.
Yeah. Definitely. And it makes me wonder if the cranberry sauces are a blend, or even the bags of cranberries that we get, are they a blend of different kinds?
I don't know either.
It's hard to imagine. Are cranberries for you something like turkey, where you only do it once a year?
No. In fact, I buy what could only be described as a crap load of cranberries this time of year, and I freeze them because I really, really like them. I do. And even just yesterday on the internet, I saw a recipe for a cranberry tart, just some alternate to pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving, and I think I'm going to try it. So it wasn't like, it didn't look like cranberry sauce in a pie, in a tart shell. What it looked like was pink mousse. And I'm going to try it.
Like a chiffon.
Exactly.
Kinda?
Yeah. And so I'm going to try it because I can't imagine it, but I love cranberries, so I'm willing to try.
Yeah, I love them too, with almost everything.
Yeah.
They're just good.
Yeah.
They're really good. We're lucky that they're, you know, local.
Yes.
I almost said native, but I don't know that to be true.
Yeah.
So.
No, we're very lucky.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what's your favorite holiday dessert?
Oh, see, that's hard.
I know.
I think I like pecan pie more than most people do. We were just talking, Lisa Reed, last year. She made this pecan pie bread pudding for dessert.
Oh, that
and
was
it
good.
It was so good.
Yes.
And it was something different, but not so different that it's like, you know, here's your banana cream pie, you know, for Thanksgiving. It was really, really good. It's such a luxury at Thanksgiving, you know, to take a little teeny tiny slice of pumpkin pie and a little teeny tiny slice of pecan pie and then put whipped cream on them. And that's just, it is such a luxury.
I know.
I always look forward to, dare I say, both.
Yes. And, you know, I think for me, pumpkin pie is like all those other things where I only do it once a year.
Yep.
And I'm not exactly sure why, because it's really good. And winter squash are available all year long, even though their winter squash.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I don't do it more, but it's so, so good.
I was out at the food bank and they had a pallet of Hubbard squash. And I was thinking, why don't we make pies out of, there's sweet potato pie, and that's really good.
Yes.
But I've never tried making a pie out of anything but a pumpkin that was a squash. And I might try it this year to see if you can get a good pie out of something else, you know?
Well, and you know that the canned pumpkin that we buy for pie filling is often butternut squash. There's no legal.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I just found this out a year ago.
Really?
So there is no difference in food industry between butternut squash and pumpkin in terms of, and if you go look on the shelf, like at the co-op, you will see butternut squash and pumpkin.
Okay.
Two different ones. But often I read that in the cans of pumpkin that we would buy, even the ones that we grew up buying, mm-hmm. or, you know, what our moms made, are sometimes butternut squash.
So I had no idea.
We could certainly use that to make our pumpkin pies. Yeah. You know, butternut squash are ubiquitous.
Yeah. My favorite squash is delicatata. And so I want to try it. But that is so interesting. You know, my friend Jerry, she says that she is so, like, loyal to one certain and brand I'd never even heard of before, of pumpkin. And I wonder if that could be the difference, if others have spaghetti, or not spaghetti squash.
That would be great.
Spaghetti squash pie. Wee!
It's a whole nother, you know, texture kind of deal.
But I wonder if it's all pumpkin and it doesn't have squash in it. I wonder if that's the difference, because she just says it's different and she loves it. So I wonder.
Huh. Wonder where she gets it.
She goes all the way to Bi-Mart. She goes into the city to get it. Oh, that's where she finds it.
Yeah. Brand loyalty. We should talk about that sometime, because we all have it for something or another.
Yeah, that's
true. I have certain things that usually ingredients that I just always look for and will go out of my way for. Speaking of which, leaf lard.
Yes.
We were just talking about that this morning. If you bake pies, I came across some leaf lard at the River People Farmers Market from the local ranch. And to me, that's just like striking gold.
Gold, yeah, yeah.
So excited.
That's such an old-timey thing, too, you know. Yeah. The best pies that my grandma made were all made with leaf lard.
Yeah, so fabulous. And it's kind of rare. You don't get a lot of it per animal, you know. Theoretically, or actually, I wouldn't say theoretically. I would say actually, lard is rendered pork fat. But most of the fat that comes from the pork is under the layer of skin, and leaf lard is in an interior. It's the only interior fat, and it wraps around the kidney, and there's not a whole lot of it. But it makes...
You make it sound so delicious.
especially if you see it before it's rendered. But once it's rendered, it's this gorgeous white, beautiful, creamy stuff. You could probably use it as, you know, a face cream. I don't know. Anyway, it makes the most fabulous pie crust in the whole wide world.
It sure does.
It's legendary. So if you know a rancher, interestingly, when I saw this in their cooler, I was like, I'll take that, and where's the rest of it? And he goes, I don't even, the guy that does their pig processing, he goes, I don't even know what to do with this. It didn't even have a price on it.
Wow.
And I was like, I will take as much of this as you can get your hands on, please and thank you.
Yes, I trade you children.
Oh, and then I was looking this morning on the internet, which lies, we know.
Sometimes.
About rendering it, because I have done the stovetop rendering of lard before, and yuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, and also potentially dangerous. You can't really wander off and use it, but leave it. But this was a way to do it in your crock pot, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And one of the suggestions was pie crust with leaf lard and a little butter.
That's a good idea.
I think so, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because not enough cholesterol in either one of them alone. But it's not like we eat that kind of pie every day.
No, nope. This is a holiday.
And I think that a feast day deserves the best pie a person can make.
Yep. I think that you were right.
Yeah.
I know you're right.
Yeah.
So I made some cabbage rolls.
And?
I really don't like cabbage rolls. I don't. I mean, they're up there with paper cuts, seriously. And I don't know why. It's just, I don't know why. But Dale loves them. And so he loves them at Mother's Bistro in Portland, you know, and they're famous for them. And they have a recipe, but it's in their cookbook, and you got to buy their cookbook. So I buckled down and I bought the cookbook. And I read the recipe, and I thought, there's no possible way this could be their cabbage rolls, that they're just playing a joke on people seeing if they're dumb enough to buy the cookbook. And so I didn't make it for months. And then poor Dale got the poor Dale face. And so I made them. And he said, these are them exactly. They are so delicious. These are so good. And so then I couldn't believe it from the recipe. And so then I had people over helping me for, you know, the animal shelter bake sale. We bake for months for it. So Colleen and Chrissy were over, and it's time for lunch. And I said, I have, I got some soup. I got some cabbage rolls. Cabbage rolls, they said. Yeah. We'll have cabbage rolls. So heated up the cabbage rolls, and they're like, oh, these are so delicious. And I'm like, really? Because I should tell you the recipe. And here's the recipe.
Before we go to the recipe, I want to know what it is you don't like about them, because you like cabbage, right?
I do, but I just don't, I don't like meatloaf really. Oh, and okay. I don't, you know, it's yeah. all along those lines. I'm okay yeah. with meatballs, but it's just I don't know. I just don't. I mean, it's not like I hate them, but I just I mean, there's a thousand other things that I would rather have, including a paper cut.
Okay, so tell us.
Okay, the recipe. Here's the recipe. So they're sitting there. Colleen and Chrissy are eating the cabbage rolls, and it is the sauce. So the cabbage rolls are very simple. Spices are salt and pepper. Woohoo! But then the sauce is a can of condensed tomato soup, a cup and a half of tomato juice, water, a cup of brown sugar, salt and pepper, a lemon juice, and almost 2 cups of ketchup. And
wow.
that is the recipe. If you read that, would you make that?
No.
And so I'm telling them this, and their faces melt, and pretty fast, like, you know, 5 seconds to horror.
Oh, just a second ago, these were so delicious.
And that's another reason why we're not a nationally syndicated show, because though we're underwritten by the co-op and sponsored by the food web, that's the kind of stuff I'm cooking.
It's the kind of stuff we all cook. Oh,
but isn't that hilarious? And they, everybody loved it. It made this giant pan of them. It was, you know, they just loved them. And they said, like Dale said, it was exactly the ones that were at the restaurant.
Well, there you go. And is the filling ground beef?
Yeah, ground beef with rice and salt and pepper. And that's all I can remember right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very, very simple, wrapped in cabbage leaves that
you
steam.
Would expect.
Yeah. Isn't that funny, though?
Amazing. Amazing. Well, you know, it's like cream of mushroom soup. You know, there are reasons. There are reasons why we use it sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's the thing.
It made me laugh.
We shouldn't be too judgmental when we taste something that we don't know what's in it, but it's absolutely flat out delicious. And it turns out to be, you know, I don't know what, like Jell-O and Tang.
Yeah.
You never know.
There's that green fluff that's like lime Jell-O and cottage cheese and Cool Whip.
Yes.
So much better than its parts.
And it's called ambrosia.
Yeah. So you gotta love it.
You gotta. It's just missing a couple little miniature marshmallows. And then it would be perfect. I don't know. It's one of the things I totally love about potlucks.
Yeah.
Is that I'm getting to taste things that I've never tasted. And often I have no idea how they got to be what they are.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just things that you probably wouldn't cook because you're in a rut like me. And then that's the thing about cooking with the food kits. You get out of your rut. You cook something outside of what you've narrowed yourself to.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yep. Even when you love to cook, and I think we can both claim that we do.
Yes.
It is something that it doesn't stand alone. It comes at the end of a busy day or in the middle of a busy day. And sometimes, you know, your default is just exactly what fits in that slot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that
put a can of mushroom soup on it.
Yes, that's
call
right.
it dinner.
Or a bottle of ketchup, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. I did buy some, a jar of ketchup at the farmer's market last week. That
really?
Yes, from Moon River Farms, and
okay.
they grew the tomatoes and make the ketchup. And I haven't opened it yet, but
okay.
I'm curious to see how that's going to be.
Cause I love that Portland ketchup.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too, but I got to say, there's a couple of major national brands that are just fine and dandy.
Yeah.
So, and they're probably full of corn syrup. I don't know.
They always talk about how ketchup has everything, all the salt, sweet, bitter, umami, it hits every one of those.
Uh-huh.
And that's one reason it's so universally liked.
That's right. That's why we can pour it on everything.
Call
I'd be
it
perfectly
dinner.
Happy about it. It is now 10 o'clock. What happened? It is my pleasure to remind everyone that they're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Linda Perkins, I hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving.
I'm going to go find my apron.
You better. You better have it. We'll talk about what we ate next time I see you.
Happy Thanksgiving.